What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday podcast. Obviously, we are not inside our little cage there. We are at SEMA 2023. This is kind of the one podcast of the year we're actually going to break a few things down for you, wheel-related. We don't usually spend a lot of time talking about wheel stuff, but this time we will. So we'll talk about some of that stuff. Obviously, you know, you have to understand that just with the nature of this show, we couldn't do, obviously, it live. So we are recording this ahead of time. It's Monday night right now, before the show opens tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering why my ears look red and we probably look really dirty and absolutely exhaustedly disgusted.
Got a little bit of sheen on us.
It's because this is what SEMA feels like before the show opens, right? Yeah. Like, this is the part where... you know, you leave like over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday morning, really early, you know, from wherever you're at. And we're from New York, obviously, we got to come to the West Coast. And then you essentially start, you land. And so now you're 3 hours in deficit after you just did a 6 hour flight.
Yep.
And, or, you know, a 5.5 hour flight. And then you basically drive from the airport through all the rigmarole of getting rental cars and stuff like that, hotels. Yep. And then you come right to the convention center and you basically work until they kick you out.
Yep.
And, you know, that's usually about, you know, 8:30, 8 o'clock at night, something like that.
A couple road bumps along the way. And
they wouldn't let us out of the hall.
Yeah. That's, you know.
We couldn't get out. Like, literally, they're like, oh, it's time to leave. So then we leave and we walk out and they'd say, oh, you can't come out this way. And then we get down there and they're like, oh, by the way, doors are locked. So you have to go all the way back.
I mean, we must have walked over a quarter mile that way. And they said, hey, the doors are locked. You guys can't go out. We're like, where do we leave? And they said, back where you came from, essentially.
Yeah, so anyhow, you just factor in, like, I mean, you just have, I mean, it's such a big show and it's so massive that even in setup phase, I mean, like, you know, you're already exhausted. Like, you could tell. We're spent.
I'll tell you this, too. I've been to the West Coast only less than a handful of times, and the weather here is very overrated because it's nicer in New York.
Well, all right. So, first off, I mean, I know this is technically the West Coast, but I think everybody would agree that the West Coast is,
you
know...
Only California?
Well, no. I mean, it's the West Coast, but, like, whatever. Anyhow, bottom line is...
The weather here sucks.
We're in a desert.
It's freezing here.
We're in a desert in November.
It was 70 degrees in New York, record-breaking temperatures in New York. I get over here, and I'm wearing shorts, and it's too cold.
Well, yeah, because it was a desert, and it's not warm right now.
I don't know. You'd think that it's going to be nice weather, and it's just not... I don't know. I feel...
All right, we're gonna move on from Rich feeling so miserable about something that we can't. This Las Vegas, we just haven't gotten anywhere because we've been doing this.
Yeah, I guess, but nowhere convenient to eat. Wouldn't you say?
No, there's nothing open before the show opens here at the Convention Center, and we have been here for 2 days. So, anyhow, with all that said, we are at the stage we were basically set up. And everything's looking good. Obviously, by now, you know that the car that we're having in our booth is Jack Builds It on YouTube. He was working on an Evo for many, many months, and he's probably a little bit behind in the content that's going up about the car build.
Right.
But it is here. It is finished. Minus, I think, a spoiler.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously a set of mirrors. But, you know, that's what happens when you build some crazy cars. I will say the detail in this car is incredible.
Sure is.
The interior is second to none. I've never seen a nicer interior on an Evo.
Me neither. That's for sure. It really is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great thing. The engine bay is immaculate. Everything's been meticulously anodized. I mean, so he did a great job, and it's fun. And Tavarish and the whole crew have been nothing but gracious, and it's always nice to catch up with them on a personal note. And in addition to that, we'll be having them in our booth on Wednesday, and both of them will be doing some signings. So if you are at SEMA, it's probably... Yeah, if you're at SEMA, because we drop this at 3 p.m.
Eastern,
so that means it'll drop it at noon. If you're still at SEMA and you happen to be seeing this, feel free to come by, hang out with us. And again, if you're at SEMA, whether you're here the rest of today, Wednesday... or you're going to be here Thursday or Friday, feel free, if you're here, come by, say hello, hang out. You know, like, it's always nice to meet everybody, and I know we've said this in the lives before, but it really is a good time to be able to, you know, say hello and catch up, and don't feel, you know, embarrassed or frightened or whatever to come up. It's not an interruption, especially
if we're not
in a meeting. We're here.
Please do.
Yeah, hop on through.
Hey, speaking of the car, what about the wheels on the car, Scott? What are they?
Yeah, so that's a release of a new forged wheel. I know what you're thinking, but I'll answer your questions in a moment. It's the F4S. It's a new 7-split-spoke forged wheel, and it's going to be one of our latest release wheels for the forged line. Now, you might be saying, Scott.
What forged line?
That forged line that you promised that was coming out last year?
Yeah.
Well, you know. All right, so here's the thing. We are releasing it officially this time. Mm-hmm. So the three main wheels that will be in the forged line, it's going to be the F1M.
That's correct.
You saw that previous. The F3S, mm-hmm. again, you've seen that previous. And it's going to be the F4S, mm-hmm. Which is now, again, on Jack's car. And we'll
and we have all the other ones here on display.
Right. Well, exactly. So basically, this is what it's going to come down to. In the F1M, you're going to release the wheel in ash silver and in matte black.
Yep.
It's a great mesh wheel. It's gorgeous in person. Mm-hmm. Has all the detail and everything that you would want from a mesh design, but also has that very forged slash
real premium,
little bit of tuning, but a lot of class.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and then we have the F3S, which is a split 5-spoke wheel, super cool wheel, has a lip on it.
Yep.
And that wheel is just it's going to be available in matte gray.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all the good details. They're just good. They're good wheels. They're wheels that we want on our cars.
Also have some really nice touches of like the forged engraving on the face of the wheel.
Yep.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. It really just makes it that extra touch. Special stuff like the center caps are completely special to the forged line.
Yep.
From
us. They're metal rings, yeah. And they're metal caps and they're O-ring caps. All this stuff, soon. I would say, just because I know people are going to ask, and I know that we've kind of delayed and extended this thing, I believe that by January, dealers will be taking orders for these wheels. I also believe that you'll start to see stock, because there's two elements of this program, and we'll talk about the first one. The first element of this program has to do with what we're going to be keeping in stock, mm-hmm. meaning that there's stock part numbers and they're off the shelf, and that's a lot of the numbers that you'll start to see us put on the websites underneath each wheel. Now, there is going to be a custom element to what we're going to do here. It's not going to be available right away, but I would imagine that this custom element will exist in some capacity by the end of 2024.
And what is the custom elements?
So a custom elements is that we're going to, and we'll probably, as the years go on or the time goes on, the options will increase.
Mm-hmm.
But what essentially you'll be able to do is, for an additional cost, and the reason I say additional cost, because it does take more time, manpower, and labor mm-hmm. to be able to do these types of things, but we will be able to go ahead and take certain custom options for a custom build, and you'll be able to order some one-off parts. Now, mm-hmm. with that said, again, I think what we'll start with, we're going to start with, you know, a range of offset and widths that you can order within the given diameters.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the first thing. And then there will eventually be the option right after that to do some additional custom colors. So for those of you who are looking at maybe some of these models and thinking, well, you know, this isn't exactly the color that I want,
mm-hmm.
the option will be there, but it's going to take us a little bit to be able to – we want to get all the production stuff in. We want to work through, you know, making sure everybody's happy on that stuff, and then we will go into – kind of being able to do that one-off more type of feel, right?
So
there's that stuff.
I forgot to say that if anyone's at the show and you guys are watching this and you haven't stopped in or whatever, we are in South Hall Lower. Our booth number is 48021.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that'd be worth mentioning just in case if you're here on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, walk in the main hall, look to your right, can't miss us.
Yeah, we're right here by the entrance.
Yep, so that's good. Downsized a little bit this year.
We did, yeah. So 30 by 30 as opposed to last year we were 30 by 50.
Yeah, and the year before that I think we were 50 by 50. It's just become one of those things that, you know, it's an expensive show, and you know, for...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's Wednesday already.
Yeah, right. But...
You gonna edit this, I guess? All right. So, you know, so anyhow, so bottom line, it's an expensive show, and when it gets into, you know, how much you spend and what you spend things on, you know, it just becomes one of those things. And there's a lot of companies that aren't even displaying at the show anymore, and kind of that's evident as we look around and kind of make the rounds through this hall.
Yeah. What year is this for you for SEMA shows?
Yeah, you've asked me this before. I you think I would, like, really know this. Because technically one was a virtual year. I believe this is 17.
That's so crazy. 17 years.
I know, but we say that, but, like, Joe, I think, had, like, 30 years.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Sophomore year right here. Feeling right. Good.
So yeah, right.
I'm going into my sophomore slump.
Well, so I have a question for you.
What's up?
Right? And we haven't talked about any of this stuff. So,
yeah.
So now, give me a few lessons that I think you're starting to learn or you're starting to see for yourself that maybe you thought, like, all right, obviously certain things could happen.
I got an answer right away.
All right. So what are some of the things?
Like learning experience things from just my...
Different things that now you know, like, all right, next year I know
Self-explanatory things or things that seem redundant or whatever is necessary for you to cross your I's and dot your T's on.
100%.
That is definitely my biggest takeaway with all this stuff is that anything that you think is supposed to get done, it won't get done until you make sure it gets done.
Yeah. I mean, that's
for sure.
And I think that there's a level of, you know, Rich and I were talking about this a little bit before because I had said to him, like, do you know why it seemed like I was pestering you so much about the simplest things?
Right.
And I was asking you over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I get it. And it's because you like you think that you make these arrangements or you get things set for SEMA and it's just going to – it will happen because you made the plan.
Right.
And that is never, ever, ever how it goes. Like you always have to almost babysit every single thing that you do all the way through over and over and over again.
Well, here's an example. Now, there are some people that I heard that in Central Hall still only received their booth today.
Yeah, I think I've always heard stories of that. I mean, there's always going to be drama, right? We saw a booth fall over the other day.
Yeah, we did.
Another wheel company, which, you know, I kind of feel for them because that does stink. I mean, from what I understand, it was part of their setup and didn't work right, whatever. But cars will always not show up. Booths will always get destroyed. Something will always not show up. They'll deliver you the wrong stuff. We've had plenty of that stuff.
Logistics are kind of tough.
Yeah, like, right. Like, you'll think something's coming in, it won't show up. Somebody else will get it. You know, stuff like that.
But, I mean, for the example of your booth not showing up and it's the day before the show, I mean, that really sucks because you would imagine that they would have something in play to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's almost out of your hands at that point, you know?
Well, I mean, there's so many different elements to what happened, right? Like, did their shipping company lose it? I mean, you know, I have no idea, but like
that's right. They could have did a different shipper.
It's happened before. Yeah. There have been circumstances. I think the nature of this show is the fact that you just can't plan on anything being smooth. But the one takeaway I think you get after doing this for years and years and years is that you have to be with the mindset of whatever comes my way, I'm gonna just find the best solution for it, knock it down, and move on, because the problem with a lot of this stuff is that you could get super hyper-focused on everything that didn't go right, and it will be a miserable show. But in the end of the day, you know, your job is to do the best you possibly can. But you really start to understand all of the effort and work and why you need to work so hard before the show.
Yeah.
You'll get to a point where the amount of work and the things you know how to check on over and over and over again, they'll make it so when you get to SEMA, it feels much easier.
It seems like there's no way to avoid having little things kind of slip through, but the whole thing is if you have 20 things that slip through, then you have a problem, serious problem.
Yeah, and I think it's not just the amount of things because you can have a level to those things that are different severities, but
well,
I think
even if you did, if you went through this thing and you really made sure that you kind of try to dot all the I's and dot the T's.
Cross the T's.
You guys got it. And, you know, you did all that, and you're still going to run into little issues, but then if you run into a lot of little issues, it becomes a big issue.
Yes.
I know that was a little bit of a tongue twister, but it made sense.
You can have big issues come out of nowhere, right? Like, let me give you an example, because people are probably not really understanding.
But if you had a big issue, I mean, that might have been that, you know, you didn't have that ready to go beforehand. You didn't, like, you know, have that covered. But I'm saying, even if you go through everything thoroughly to get everything covered and you were like,
I've had SEMA years that have went flawlessly.
It's nice to hear.
But I've had plenty more years that there's been some level of disruption.
Mm.
And I've had years where things were as a colossal F-up. And you got to roll with it. Yeah. Like, you're here. There's nothing more you could do. But even that, as we say this, just so you know, like, we're put together. Well, right now, Jim, our sales manager, is at Home Depot trying to find hardware because we can't find any of the hardware to bolt the TV to the bracket to put on the wall. Yep. So right now, we have a bare wall with a cord dripping through.
Yes, we do.
We have one of the stanchions that we use. It's based out of aluminum. It bolts on. There's different attachment pieces. Two of the holes stripped out, and now we can't get the wheel to go on. So to get the wheel to go on, to get the thing to bolt up, he's going to get either a drill bit and a tap, or he's going to get a helicoil kit. But bottom line is, we will figure that out before we leave tonight. And it is tonight. And you've been here since, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you are tired, and you haven't eaten much, and I guess it doesn't affect much of us.
No,
I'm still hungry.
I'm hungry.
So, you know, you start to get to a point, and then, you know, at the end of the day, by the time you leave here tonight, and you go back to the hotel, you're kind of already shot, and you haven't started the show yet, and you got to get your stuff ironed for tomorrow and stuff, because we get here super early tomorrow to make sure that
we saw some stuff we had to take care of at the hotel.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, you know,
stuff like web pages and things like that, because we're trying to get
stuff
you
and whatnot, and, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't end.
It's hard because, like, you know, we don't. A lot of this stuff, just the way the timing goes, it brings everything down to this deadline. And so you have to make a decision. Do you bring it into certain places, get things photographed, have everything, or do you have to bring it to the show first? And then we want to give you that sneak peek.
Yeah.
We want to give you those looks. So the way to do it is, we got to go do it tonight before the show starts. And that, you know, so it's going to be, you know, tomorrow's rough. So there's that. Let's get back to the wheels.
Yeah, so so we got some other new stuff this year. We actually have 5 new wheels.
Is that all? All right, so
it's 4 new wheels.
No, it's. I think it's more than that, right?
I think it's 4.
Right. So let's talk about it real quick.
Because
one didn't make it.
So it's 4.
But I believe that wheel will be done and probably ready to go for 24.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it made the show.
Okay. Well, I mean, so if we're at the show, though, because it's SEMA podcast, we got 4 new wheels for the show.
On display.
Yeah.
Correct. So let's talk about some of the things that we did. We just explained the forge line, so we're going to move past that.
Yep.
We have a new wheel called the Mark 1.
Yeah, we do.
Now it's spelled MRK1.
MRK1. Mark 1.
The cool thing about this wheel is that it is a great-looking mesh flow-formed wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit different from us in a sense that you usually see us refer to flow-formed wheels in the lighter area.
Yeah.
Now,
also, people are used to seeing our flow-formed wheels in the naming conventions with the forms and grams.
Well, and also, you're very used to us hyper-focusing on the motorsport element any one of our flow-formed wheels, right?
Absolutely.
Why is this different?
Because this is a little more
mainstreamy,
yeah. You know, instead of shedding all the extra weight for performance,
we went for the style points.
Yeah, a little bit more style points.
At least we hope we went for the style points.
I think we did.
I'll
tell you this right now. I know you might be in a little bit of like the honeymoon phase or whatever it is. I think this is my favorite wheel from Koenig, period, ever. Like, I think look wise, it's right up my alley.
Which is different, but you know, I think that's what happens, right? Like, I'm 41. I've clearly run through, you know, different generations of stuff, and I have certain, you know, very specific thoughts, likes, not only for what I like about wheels, but also what I feel for the brand.
Yeah.
And then I think it's interesting because you guys are much younger.
Yeah.
I mean, much, you know, at least 10 years,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And so your opinion and maybe some of your
taste
are different.
Yeah.
And so we try to do things to stay current. You know, part of being, you know, doing this thing for over 40 years is the fact that we've had to evolve and change as the years go on. Sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't.
But
but we have.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing something different. It is still a flow form wheel, and it is still lightweight. I mean, yeah,
comparatively to having that type of style on that type of a wheel.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I mean, without a doubt. It's still a lightweight wheel. And honestly, yep. Even if you were going to use it for motorsports, you definitely can. I mean, I think the styling on this wheel is so good that I will take this wheel. I'm going to have these wheels on my Speed 3 probably. And I'll choose over the Forge wheel just because I like the style just better. I think it looks that good.
Yeah, no, it's a good looking wheel.
Yeah.
I think the cool thing about this is there's a lot of detail in this wheel in a different way. So
one more thing. I think when people look at this wheel, they're going to say, that's a little different from Koenig.
I agree with that.
They're going to look at that, and your first impression is going to be like, this wheel is just a little bit different from them. People are either going to think it's cool.
But what I think is, and I think this probably more because I had more to do with the development of
absolutely,
it, right?
Yep.
But I think is that when you look at the Mark I, you can see this wheel as, wow, I see the Koenig DNA in it,
yep.
But I watched it evolve a little bit to something that's maybe different from what I'm used to from that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Now, let's talk about the accessories real quick to come on this wheel. The first accessory that you'll notice that comes on this wheel is an aluminum spin-on cap,
mm-hmm.
and a covered lug plate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting about this is that we tend not really to do anything covered lug. A lot of companies do it for the sake of covering up a dual drill pattern. Right now, we do not have any listed applications with a dual drill pattern, but we do have big lightning holes in that area to try to remove as much of the weight as we could.
Yep.
What we are doing with that cover plate is really giving you that clean look of the wheel's spokes are kind of endless. It gives you that little bit more of a center lock feel.
Yep.
From this wheel. And in addition to that, the cap is very center lock-like.
Yep.
And has some pretty cool features. The logo pops in and out if you don't want to run the center logo. The caps, we will have options. It will come with a gloss black mm-hmm. cap in the box. But there will be an anodized red cap option, which is what you'll see that's on a lot of our pictures right now yep. as we're displaying the wheel like that. Additionally, there will be an aero disc for this wheel.
Boom.
Now, the aero disc that we have right now is not going to be the final color, I believe, that we're going to make it at first.
Right.
I think we're going to do black with white writing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's still going to be the same type of shape. It is not a full aero disc that covers the entire wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We, if you know us, you know that we sometimes obsess over functionality.
Mm-hmm.
We push all our styles and everything toward the functional side. And the aero disc was no different. So we've done some CFD testing, not a ton, but we've basically developed and replicated some sort of fin design that's in the back of this, you know, integrated disc that will essentially act as like a heat, I don't want to say pump, it's really a suction.
Extraction.
Like, yeah, so
extraction.
What happens is as it goes, the idea is that it's going to help pull air out of the wheel well
mm-hmm.
and kind of eject some of that hot air out of the wheel. Now, I'm not saying this to you with promises 100%. Based off of what we're testing, this does work that way. Is it decorative? Absolutely. Should you buy it for any performance games? No. But it does appear to work as it should and on this computer-rated model, and that's mm-hmm. as far as we're going to take it because at the end of the day, it is an optional accessory
yep.
that's there for a lot of the style. So
I'm going to ask some questions that people might have real quick. Can you use the aero disc on any of the previous wheels that we have?
No. Not no. No, you can't. Because a lot of it has to do with it's locked in by this center cap and this intricate design that centers it into that wheel, which spins on.
That design is also unique to the Mark I.
That design is unique to the Mark I at this point.
Which is the reason why it doesn't work for any of the other wheels that we have.
Correct. Yeah. And also the disc is not full wheel diameter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is cut short to allow air to escape. See, one of the downsides about some of the aero discs that exist on the market right now
mm-hmm.
is that they're doing it for style and then they're following what some of the older wheels used to use for some of their models. The problem with it is that if you cover up a lot of your wheel and you don't get that disc to function in a way where it's actually pulling heat out
mm-hmm.
and you're not funneling air in, which you know, depending on which kind of racing you do, may create a drag issue or something. The problem that you're doing is you're covering up all the heat dissipation that the wheel and your braking need to be able to kind of stay in a reasonable cool thing. So now if you're using it on a track or something like that, you could see a problem with that. But now, I'm not saying every one of them is. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Right.
Yeah, or more possible.
Right. So the Mark 1, very cool, very different from us. There is another Flowform wheel that we have. However, it didn't make it to the show. And we're going to take the opportunity because we actually saw some of the samples, you know, mm-hmm. kind of in pictures and stuff like that, to make a few little changes. And we'll probably bring that to you in some sort of rendered form before the end of the year. And then you will see them probably in the April window for launch. So
yep.
There is another Flowform wheel coming. I'll say that.
Cool.
Moving on.
Yeah. We got the... No, it's unnamed.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not saying the name right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Last thing is we have one other big news, right?
Well, I... And that is a noise that you don't ever want to hear from anything at SEMA before the show opens, but that's not our problem either. So, basically, we're dropping a new series of wheels
mm-hmm.
That is something we've been asked for a while
mm-hmm.
and something that seems to have really picked up a lot of popularity, and we hear the comments all the time.
Well, what's the best-selling kind of vehicle in America?
I really don't want to go down that avenue. I would like to not start any debates, but just tell them what we have.
Got it.
I know. I feel like it's super difficult to anyhow. All right. So.
Yeah.
I don't know how much do we go back.
Just start from the whole Hyper Trail. All
right.
He'll cut it before that bang. So just clip it from when that thing happened, because we didn't start talking about it until after that.
Okay, I mean, the only downside is it's going to start at any moment again. I know, but it's going to start again. He's going to...
All right. He was going to shoo him off.
I still think he's going to reverse in any second now, and the lights are going. But I could be wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. Let's roll with it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Started in 12 seconds.
This guy's far enough away.
Think it's far enough away? All right. So, let's talk about the new release. Are you sure we're good?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. So let's talk about the new release that we have in addition to the other wheels that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a new series called the Hyper Trail series.
Right. So we've been asked about this for more than a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, we have had increased demand for people wanting something from us that really works more in the overlanding / a little bit more of the truck tuner type mm-hmm. of segment. I think what's happening really is you're starting to see people that are of our age that have... you know, change, like they still have that tuner inspired type of feel.
Yeah.
But they're buying things like Tacomas and 4Runners, and, you know, maybe they want to do it to their Silverado, and they,
yep.
you know, where it's not a traditional off road wheel, but it has an overlanding feel, but it also is a little bit more.
But you would also say that these are the type of people that don't want to go to maybe the more off road type
right.
of
well,
wheel.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, so again, what I will say is, you know, this line is developed to, you know, for those people.
Mm-hmm.
There's two wheel designs. Each one tentatively right now has three finishes.
Yep.
I'll explain what them are in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition
how many wheels?
Two wheels. I already said that.
Oh.
Rich is sleeping.
No, I'm
it's good. Okay.
I'm right here.
Two wheels, three finishes right now tentatively. And in addition to that, we have some cool selling points and features of this wheel. So let's talk about it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is wheel is HT1 and an HT2.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that these wheels are really, really nice. I think they have some details in them that I haven't seen anywhere else. So one is a 7-spoke wheel.
Yep.
The other one is a split 6-spoke wheel or something that to that effect. You want to call it multi-spoke, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Both wheels have a pop-in, pop-out center cap. It's a thin, hard plastic logo. So if you don't want to run the wheel with a center logo, you could take it out.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this is that we created a cap perch that's integrated into the wheel with the decorative area on the center.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take the cap out, it still looks finished and proper,
yep.
and it doesn't look like you forgot to put your center cap in.
Yep.
So that's cool, and I like that because, you know, some guys are going to have really tall grease nuts or different things. They're not going to want to run the center cap. Maybe they're going off, off-road or whatever it is. And they don't want to screw the center caps up or whatever it is. So they take them out, and then they're able to still look like the wheel's not missing anything, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. Understand these wheels come with a lot of cool stuff. One, they come with neural beads,
mm-hmm.
right? Neural bead seats. So it's going to help to prevent the tire from slipping and, you know, when you air down and different things like that. That's what we're trying to do, keep it on the bead seat.
That's what we want.
Second thing is we've extended the height of the bead humps. Now, what that means is that if you look at a bead seat, there's humps, and then as you work your way from the hump out, you have these humps that kind of are meant to kind of push against the bead seat to keep it from debeading.
Yep.
And then you'll run into these knurled beads, and then you run into the outer edge. Now, what's really cool about this wheel is it has an updated, thicker rear flange to give you more rigidity. It has a 2,500-pound load rating, like I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be something that has that extended bead height hump, which will keep the tire planted, the best it can, especially when you were to air down. And with that, you'll see that it has the capability to go where you want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving you that overlanding, off-roading type of capability, without giving you that thing where you can't have a regular good on-road wheel.
Oh, I mean, also, if you're the type of person where you like the tuner-inspired type of wheels, it gives you that type of satisfaction on your not-so-tuner car.
Right. But I will say this. We wanted to make the wheel even better, and because of that, we want to, you know, as much as it has, when you go 2,500 pounds load rated for 5 and 6 lug vehicles, the wheel's going to get heavy. But what we have done is we have made the wheel flow formed. So we are trying to cancel all the weight out of it, but we still keep this thing super rigid and we keep, you know, so we've given you all the goodies.
Yep.
And so both these wheels are new for us, and we're excited that we'll have sizing. It looks like right now we're doing 17.5, 17.9, 18.5.
And
18.9. Yep. And I think there'll be an 18.9.5 option as well in some sizes. But you're looking at 5 and 6 legs. So 5/127, 6/139 to start.
Yep.
That's where we're at. That covers a lot of different applications, especially in truck. And, so you're looking at Tacomas, 4Runners, brand new Rams. I think you have some of the new Silverados, depending on the brake packages.
GM, no? Old GM
well,
trucks?
Not all of them, but a lot of the GM trucks that are 6 and 139, right? So you're about to watch some magic happen, I think, right in the background, right?
Yeah, but we're just about done anyways.
So, all right, good, that's a good point. So HT1 is going to be the split 6-spoke wheel. That wheel right now is going to come in matte black, matte bronze, and a gloss
graphite.
And the gloss graphite looks incredible.
Yep.
The next wheel is the HT2.
Yep.
You can see how original we're being here, but very good. HT2.
And HT, Hyper Trail Series is what it's called. Hyper Trail Series. So
right.
Hyper
Trail, that's for the HT.
Hyper Trail 1, Hyper Trail 2.
So the Hyper Trail 2, that's going to be matte black, matte bronze, and it's also going to be in a matte gray.
Yeah, it's a semi-matte graphite.
Semi-matte graphite. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So so the finishes, they're going to be more durable. The clear coat is just a hair thicker. It allows it to be a little bit more sustainable. Again, you know, be careful when you go sandblasting, you know, along the trails, because that eats away at clear coats like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we are really excited about releasing these two truck wheels. We think that having these wheels is going to be something that a lot of people have been asking us to do, and we're kind of like we're focused on a lot of different directions. Plus, we wanted to make wheels that we felt pretty good about releasing, not just make a wheel and throw it out there. And yeah. And I feel that this has all the details and all the good stuff that I would want my wheel to have if I have my Tacoma or a 4Runner or, you know, or Silverado or whatever it is. You know what I mean? If I'm putting these on there, if I'm running into this on a Jeep. Like, and it's my personal truck. I want these details.
Me too.
Yeah. So we put them in, and that's how we work. If we wouldn't run it on our own stuff, we don't want it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's think about what else we have from SEMA. Aside from that, I mean, it's another SEMA, and I'm super happy to get done with it. I think it's interesting, and that's pretty much the deal.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope that we walked you through this stuff. Stay tuned to our social. We'll have more stuff coming up.
If you're watching us on Wednesday, you're going to be in SEMA Thursday or Friday. Yep. Stop by. Oh, yeah. We're going to be...
And full booth tour on Friday.
Yeah, our content coming out on Friday.
Yeah, tune into our YouTube channel, and we'll be happy to walk you around the booth, give you the laydown. You'll see all the wheels. That's it for this one. We'll catch you on the next one.